Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word. I trust that you are well. The Lord is keeping and watching over your life and protecting and preserving you. We are still in the book of Ephesians, and we started to look at spiritual warfare. And one of the first things that we established is that we fight based on the strength that is in the Lord. We fight knowing our authority, knowing what Christ has done, and we fight from a place of victory. When you fight knowing that you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, then you are able to know that the victory has been won for you, and your job is to enforce it. Now, yesterday we looked at the wiles of the devil, and this is the word that is used. It means the methodoia. In Greek, it's methodoia, and that means the trickery, the cunning works, the deception of the devil, the crafts. That means that when it comes to the devil, he has tricks, he has strategies, you know, he has methods that he deploys against the believers. To the world, to those that are not Christians, the Bible says the God of this world has blinded their minds that they cannot see the truth of the gospel. So there is a blinding force that the enemy does, and he controls the actions and decisions. And that's why you find those that are in the world are completely under the control of the devil. And the devil deploys his strategies, he deploys his kingdom agents, that they are able to control, they are able to influence, they are able to rule in a way by decree or even by territories. They are able to rule over the kingdoms of this world. And that's why he told Jesus that all these kingdoms of this world have been given to me, and I'm ready to give them to anyone. I can give them to anyone, their wealth, if you just but bow down to me. Today you find in the world, when people want to be famous, when people want to blow, they want to, you know, to be, you know, to go viral, they do things that are wicked, or they make deals with the devil. They sell their souls for fame, for money, for prosperity. And when they do this, they are able to go forth and become such great people. But you see, that greatness is always short-lived, because the enemy gives nothing for free. And either they're humiliated at their peak, or they lose their very soul. They have to offer sacrifices time and time again. They end up in scandals. They do wicked acts that demean themselves, demean their own bodies. And before you know it, the end of the law catches up with them, or at their prime, at their peak, they are brought to nothing. And this is what the enemy does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you find such great musicians who started in the church, or who were built up by God, and they end up being turned for the devil. So the enemy has his kingdom. And if you have the perception that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, but then you find that if you go on ground, you find that Christians are facing quite a number of oppression. There are demonic attacks, there are attacks of sicknesses, there are attacks of the devil. There are those who are being oppressed. And unfortunately, one will wonder, why is it that, yes, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities, all powers, all rulers, all thrones, all dominions, and yet at the same time still facing these attacks of the devil and going through oppression? And that is what the struggle with. And one of the things that we must come to the understanding of is that the enemy is not asleep, and he looks for footholds. Anytime we give him a place, anytime we give him a hole in our armor, anytime we operate from the flesh, then we are subject, and we find ourselves that we are victims of his devices, of his manipulations. One of the levels of warfare that the enemy does is also the level of the mind. You know, when he says that we must take stronghold, captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Strongholds, you know, things that influence the thoughts and patterns of men, we have to take them captive. So when you try to understand how the devil works, the Bible tells us that even the kingdom of Satan is not divided. That means Satan does not cast out Satan. They are not divided. And for them, they know that there is rank. And even today, as we see Ephesians chapter 6, we are able to see the rankings that the devil has in his kingdom. The Bible says, Ephesians 6 verse 12, that for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, it's important you see the word "we wrestle." That speaks about that there is a place for fighting where it no longer even requires you to be alone, but it needs corporate. It needs two or three. It needs a body where you know that this is a war. Paul says that I fought wild beasts in Ephesus. That means he was not speaking of animals. He was saying that he fought demons. He fought principalities. He fought princes of darkness when he was in Ephesus, when he was taking the gospel. But you see, God wanted him until a point when he was ready to fight. And Paul never moved alone. There are times where he will say, he will go somewhere and he will wait. Send for me, Timothy. Send for me this person. I need them. Because he knows there are things that we effect together. When Jesus said that whatever you agree that you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There is a place where we stay together as an ecclesia, where we make legislation as a church, where we agree, and that is why the Bible says one chases 1,000, but two chases 10,000. So in compounding, we increase in strength, we increase in ability to overthrow territorial issues that are over areas. So when you think about this, it says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That means that there is a place where we also wrestle. And when you think of wrestling, there is close combat. And when you think about wrestling, like for where there's a wrestling match, there is that close combat, that the blows, the holding, the throwing down, it is something that you don't expect to do without either getting some bruises on one side or getting some injuries. And think of, for example, when Jacob wrestled with the angel of God. The Bible says, in that night, a man wrestled with him. He wrestled the whole night. And when the man saw that he could not overcome him, he touched the hip of his socket and he was limping. But Jacob held on to him and said that, I will not leave you until you bless me. And the Bible tells us that he asked him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, then your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have wrestled with men and with angels or with princes and overcome. So he considered that he has wrestled with princes. He has now become a prince. So when we speak about principalities, we speak about those that have thrones. The enemy, Satan, has divided his kingdom in terms of territories. Remember the story of Daniel. When Daniel made a prayer to God, the Bible says that angel Gabriel was sent with his message, but the prince of Persia detained him 21 days until Michael, who is the prince over Israel, came and fought with the prince of Persia and released the angel Gabriel. Then the angel Gabriel came in and delivered the message to Daniel. And this was delivered after 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, that tells you that there was a war. There was a warfare in the heavens, even for his result. There was a contention. And you see, principalities are those that are given thrones over territories. So, and this is not just geographical. You'll not say prince over Kenya. It's regional, you know. So you can see that over Persia, over Greece. Remember I said the prince of Greece will come after the prince of Persia. So over territories, there is Angel Michael is the prince over Israel. He is the warring angel. So that is why he protects and preserves Israel. Why? Because he is the greatest archangel and is the warring angel. So he protects them. Now, when we think about it, the devil also has structured his kingdom in the same way that he has learned from God to copy that. So there are principalities. Those are princes over regions. They have territories. They have thrones. And these are not beings that possess human beings. They have no business possessing people. In fact, the Bible says, if the princes of this world had known by crucifying the Lord Jesus, they were going to set him free. They're going to release the wisdom, the mystery of God. They will not have done it. They would have allowed Jesus, you know, to remain a man and die and, you know, grow old and all that, if only they had known. But you see, there are things that are hidden from them. That is why we, the church, declare the manifold wisdom of God to principalities and powers of this age. We are demonstrators of the manifold wisdom of God. They watch us to learn the manifold wisdom of God. So there are things that are hidden from them. They are the hidden wisdoms of God. And that is why the enemy is very angry against man. Why? Because man is made in the image and likeness of God. Man is made in the image and likeness of God. That is why the devil is very bitter with man, because he was not made in the image and likeness of God. But we are made in the image and likeness of God. Then we have powers. Now, powers are controlling forces that influence culture, they influence behavior over places. And you can see how the enemy controls people in regions in specific ways. You go to certain regions, you find the challenges there is just alcoholism. When you leave that region, you might not struggle with alcoholism or addiction, but when you are in that region, you find there's that struggle with alcoholism, and or maybe you come where there is this disease, there is HIV/AIDS. Why is HIV/AIDS only in East and Southern Africa so much? That is because there are powers that are controlling that. You go to Asia, you find certain, you know, cults and certain things that are controlling forces that they influence culture, they influence religion, they influence how people behave. You go to certain regions, you find it is certain characters that are controlling, and that is the work of powers. Then you go to rulers, and rulers, these are, you know, those that influence certain, you know, communities, or they are in charge of certain areas. And this one, it says, rulers of the darkness of this world. That means that there are people who control certain territories in this world. You know, they're actually rulers. They have thrones. You can find a witch doctor, or you can find a certain person who is maybe in politics, or a certain person who is in music, but they are actually rulers of this world, of the darkness of this world. That means they have been given thrones to rule and to exercise some dominion, and people worship them, they influence things. But then also, beyond that, it also speaks about spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the demons that control certain altars. You know, when high places were places that people will sacrifice, you know, so when it speaks of spiritual wickedness in high places, altars, these are altars that have demons, and these altars, they control territories, they control people, they control regions, they control certain villages and communities. So these are all forces of darkness that the enemy employs. And the Bible tells us that we wrestle. We wrestle. That means we, for us to enforce the laws of God, for us to enforce the truth of God, for us to cancel the laws that the rulers have legislated over territories that, you know, certain people in certain lineage, they must either die from, you know, hanging, there must be certain aspects of corruption, for us to be able to cancel those laws. Then as believers, we must understand the operation and we must take on the full armor of God. For us to, you know, to understand how the devil works, it's not that we glorify him, and it's for us to know that, not to be ignorant. In fact, I think it's Amos that says that, woe to you who, you know, slumber or who are at peace in Jerusalem. That means there is a place where you're not just supposed to be lounging and just relaxing. No, we know that we are to take territory. Yes, you may be free, but your brothers and sisters are not free. Your nation is not free. Your community is not free. And how can you bring them also to that place of knowledge, to that place of understanding? How can you save the lost? How can you bring them to a place of understanding? How can you steal from the strong men that are binding them? It is by taking territory. When we take territory, then we expect resistance. Paul, anytime he will take territory, then he will face resistance. There was persecution, there were attacks that he faced, there were struggles that he faced. But you see, the victory belongs to the saints. Just because we face certain challenges here and there does not mean that we are not victorious. No. It is a wrestling. That is why we don't rest. We keep fighting. But we don't fight because we are defeated, but we fight from a place of victory. We fight knowing that Christ has won us the victory. Our job is not to fear the devil. You're not even, you know, that's why Paul says, when I was with you, I long that you know to preach nothing but Christ. When you understand who we are in Christ, then we can see the devil narrowly. The Bible says, in that day we will look up and ask ourselves, is this the man who deceived the whole world? That's why I say, behold, I give you power to trample over snakes and scorpions and over every power of the enemy. Whenever the kingdom man enters a region, he destroys the kingdom of darkness. There is a contention, but the Bible says when there's contention between the house of David and the house of Saul, the war waged on for a long time, but the house of David grew stronger and stronger, but the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. When we contend for the kingdom, when you come to a place and you establish your altar, your prayer altar, when you establish the altar over your family, over your community, then there is going to be warfare. But the Bible has assured you that you that are anointed, you that are called of God, you that are raising up godly altars, that your house shall grow stronger and stronger, but the house of the enemy shall grow weaker and weaker. The church of God must arise and stand and fight. You cannot wish the devil away. You cannot just say, just because the enemy is there, if I ignore him, he will not disturb me. No. The Bible says the devil is moving around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. When you sleep, when you are at rest, then you find that before you know it, you have faced certain challenges. We have a responsibility to stand firm, to not rest. There is a healthy balance that we must have of the enemy. We must know that he comes with his tricks, with his methods, with his influences. He has his government, he has even men, occultic men, people who do witchcraft, people who, you know, do all sorts of voodooism and all this mysticism, and they collaborate with the devil to destroy men. snakes and scorpions, wizards, witches, seances, you know, necromancers, all these are there. And the Bible speaks about all of them. And it says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. There is a place where we fight with men that have chosen to dedicate themselves to the devil for works of wickedness. That is where the Bible says, thou shalt not allow a witch to live. There's a place where we speak against them, where we legislate against them, where we speak against their altars, where we cancel their works of darkness. That is not the place of where to just show mercy. No, we destroy their wickedness. There are people who have sold themselves to wickedness. And for such, there is no redemption. In fact, even there's a point where God tells, I think, one of the prophets, do not even pray for this one. Don't pray for them. That is sad, but it's true. There are places, there are people who have decided that they are not going to come to God. And God says, for such, deal with them. So stand firm. Put on the whole armor of God that you can be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery, to understand who he is. In fact, it says, I do not desire you to be ignorant. Ignorance is very costly. You see, how to overcome this great controversy between what Christ has done and the present day realities is that you must not be at ease. Know that you are an enforcing agent. Beyond that, know what Christ has done, but also you must know what are the present works of the Holy Spirit. There is the finished works of Christ on the cross. But you see, the Bible says that when he ascended, before he left, he gave commandments to his disciples through the Holy Spirit. That means that there are day-to-day commandments. There is the obedience of being led by the Holy Spirit today. Now, if you are not listening to the Holy Spirit today, if you're not walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit today, then you will find that you are not under his government. You will find that you will miss certain things and you can fall victim to the traps of the devil. Assume you enter a car and the car is supposed to go into an accident. The Holy Spirit is going to warn you. Is going to give you a clear instruction within your spirit that you're going to face this. Now, if you don't take possession, if you don't take authority, if you don't pray, if you don't step out of that car, then you can fall into the same fate with those that are not walking in line with God. And you will blame, you might blame God and say, oh God, where were you? But you see, the Holy Spirit within you, within your vessel, warned you. So, when the believer does not walk in line, in step with the Holy Spirit, then he can fall victim to the traps of the devil and to the attacks of the devil. So, yes, Christ has finished the works. But unless you know that finished work, you believe it, you receive it, you walk in it, but also unless you are present with the day-to-day instructions, obedient with the present works of the Holy Spirit, then you might not walk in complete and total victory. The reason why believers today are not walking in complete and total victory is because they still miss out from the present works of the Holy Spirit. You must know what Christ has done as the finished works. You are seated with Christ. You have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, you are above only and not below. Yes, you are elevated with him. But you see, if you're not obedient to be led by him, then you might not know the leading that where he does not lead us, where he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You must be ready to be led by the Spirit of God. Obedience guarantees your total victory. Christ has won for us, but you must enforce it. You must walk in victory. Abraham was told, behold, I have made you a father of many nations. He was declared righteous. He believed God. And then God tells him, now walk blamelessly before me. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works that any man should boast. But then he says, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So it's not just a matter of believing, but it's a matter of also being and living it. Live the Christian walk of life. Do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give him a room. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let this anger go down on you in the night. Let the sun go down with you angry. Why? Because when you do that, you give the devil a foothold. You give him a place of accusation. The Bible calls him the accuser of brethren, who accuses them before the Father day and night. His job is walking with a screenshot. You know, he takes a camera, he takes pictures of what you have done, and he takes them to the Father as an accusing voice. But when we understand what Christ has done, when we walk in righteousness, in obedience, then they say, for the sake of the angels, then the angels cannot oppose us. Let us understand that God wants us to walk in complete victory. When we have a healthy balance of spiritual warfare, then we shall walk in victory. Our job is not to fear the devil, but to know he's defeated, but also to be submitted to God. Submit yourself to God under his mighty hand, and he shall lift you up. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for you want us to walk in victory. Victory against the forces of darkness. Victory against the works of the enemy. Victory against the plans, the wiles, the trickery. Thank you that indeed the victory is for the saints, and we shall not walk defeated lives. We shall walk lives that are victorious, lives that are strengthened, lives that are covered by you. May your grace, may your power, may your anointing be with us, O God. We trust in you. We depend upon you. We look unto you. Your promises are yes and amen. Walk with us, direct us, keep us, sustain us, be our shield, our portion. I pray for those that are fighting. Encourage them. Open their eyes to know that which they are facing, that they shall be able to be victorious against the works of the evil one, O God. They shall take every thought captive and make it obedience to Christ, because you are ready to punish every disobedience when our obedience is complete. I thank you for victory. We stand against all works of the enemy that are holding and blinding the people, that are using sicknesses and attacks of the enemy, attacks of oppression, attacks of terrorism, attacks of the devil, through influences, through powers, through rulers, through principalities. We come against them through the blood of Jesus. And we say, the Lord rebuke them. We thank you that you are victorious. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom and blessed day, children of God.